Once again, it's important we understand the context. Maharaj Yudhisthira addresses Vidura, who has just returned from a sacred pilgrimage. My Lord, should I be? My Lord, yes, it's better. Devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified, because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart. You turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Purport. The personality of Godhead is omnipresent by his diverse potencies everywhere, just as the power of electricity is distributed everywhere within space. Similarly, the Lord's omnipresence is perceived and manifested by his unalloyed devotees like Vidura, just as electricity is manifested in an electric bulb. A pure devotee like Vidura always feels the presence of the Lord everywhere. He sees everything in the potency of the Lord and the Lord in everything. The holy places all over the earth are meant for purifying the polluted consciousness of the human being by an atmosphere surcharged with the presence of the Lord's unalloyed devotees. If anyone visits a holy place, he must search out the pure devotees residing in such holy places, take lessons from them, try to apply such instructions in practical life, and thus gradually prepare oneself for the ultimate salvation, going back to Godhead. To go to some holy place of pilgrimage does not mean only to take a bath in the Ganges or Jamuna or to visit the temples situated in those places. One should also find representatives of Vidura who have no desire in life, save and except to serve the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any tinge of fruitive action or utopian speculation. They are in the actual service of the Lord, specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. The pure devotees hear from the authorities and chant, sing, and write of the glories of the Lord. Mahamuni Vyasadev heard from Narada, and then he chanted in writing. Interesting how Prabhupada says, Mahamuni Vyasadev heard from Narada, and then he chanted in writing. Shukadev Goswami studied from his father and he described it to Parikshit. That is the way of Srimad Bhagavatam. So by their actions, the pure devotees of the Lord can render any place into a place of pilgrimage, and the holy places are worth the name only on their account. Such pure devotees are able to rectify the polluted atmosphere of any place, and what to speak of a holy place, rendered unholy by the questionable actions of interested persons who try to adopt a professional life at the cost of the reputation of a holy place. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada wrote in the purport, a pure devotee like Vidura always feels the presence of the Lord everywhere. He sees everything in the potency of the Lord, and the Lord in everything. And this is the general vision of the pure devotee. He doesn't see exactly like we see things which are moving and things which are still, which are objectives of our perception. He sees actually everywhere his beloved Lord shining forth. Prabhupada has given the example or has told us how this vision of the pure devotee comes about. It comes about by his love for Krishna. He gave this example of a parent who may see the little shoes of his son. We ordinary people who are not parents to this particular son would certainly overlook, we wouldn't feel there's any significance to the shoes. We would visit a temple, and we see many shoes, we would maybe notice there are some small shoes amongst them, but we would not even think for a second that this is very significant. However, the father who knows his little child and who has love for the child will see the little shoes, and he will not exactly see the shoes. Actually, he will see the nice little smiling face of his boy. No? He will, by his love, see things extraordinarily, not ordinarily, like other people will do. So the pure devotee also sees this world like that. He sees it as an energy, a potency of the Lord. And in this way, he remembers more the Lord than the objects of ordinary perception. So this is a general vision of the pure devotee. So the next sentence, Srila Prabhupada talks about a very purifying place who can uplift or transform and change the vision even of an ordinary person, that he can also see for a moment that pure vision. He says, the holy places all over the world are meant for purifying the polluted consciousness of the human being by an atmosphere surcharged with the presence of the Lord's unalloyed devotees. This is really the special benediction which even an ordinary man or an ordinary woman can experience when visiting a holy place. The polluted consciousness, that means the polluted vision, we see really through our consciousness, that becomes uplifted and purified by this sacred atmosphere. And then even for an ordinary person, Krishna is very, let me say, Krishna might reveal himself at a holy place. Krishna, the devotee can see Krishna in some ways. Either in the holy places we see the beautiful deities, or we remember the pastimes which happened at specific places of pilgrimage. And in this way, it is actually possible for the devotee to perceive the Lord specifically in these holy places. It's a very special blessing. Therefore, amongst the five angas which are most important for the practitioners of Krishna consciousness, dhamvasa, or to reside in a holy place, is mentioned. Jiva Goswami informs us, and we find this also in Srila Prabhupada's books, that if it is not possible to physically reside in a holy place, we should mentally think, I'm here at Govardhan, I'm here at Radhakund and Syamakund. Many devotees therefore have called specific landmarks in their vicinity Radhakund, Syamakund. I know in Sweden of all places, which is often covered with snow and very, very cold. Ooh, there is a little pond before the temple, and it's called Radhakund. There's also a little island and a bridge which goes into the island, because they want to have it like a replica of the spiritual Radhakund, where there's also a little island in the middle and a crystal bridge leading to it. It's something which you can see by the eye of devotion or by the eye of faith. So one such holy places who has tremendous potency is Giriraj Govardhan. Some of you have listened to the seminars on this, the lectures on this, on the subject of Giriraj. I would like to continue, because today we have Govardhan Puja, isn't it? Is this correct? No. Next week. Today is Govardhan Yes, a little early, yes. So today in the New York University, yes, we will have the, yes, good. Fine. I would like to read to you just three verses from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Govardhanashtakam. This morning we read his composition of the Guru Vashtakam. Now is another ashtakam of his, where Giriraj is extolled. Krishna prasadena samasta shaila samrajam apnoti chavairinopi sakrasyaya prapabalim sasakshat gorvadanome disatam abhishtam. May Govardhan Hill, which by Krishna's mercy became the king of all mountains and received the respectful tribute of its arch enemy, Indra, fulfill my desire. No? So Govardhan Hill became Giriraj, the king of all mountains, by Krishna's mercy, because Krishna touched him. And result, he became exalted and was even worshipped by this aggressor, Indra. Saprashta hastam bujaso kumaya sukanu bhute atibhumi vritte mahendra vraja hatim apyajanam gorvadanome disatam abhishtam. Please repeat. Govadanome disatam abhishtam. It means, may Govardhan Hill fulfill my desire. The verse says, as he, Giriraj, was held above the earth, it became so filled with happiness by experiencing the softness of his beloved Krishna's lotus hand that it didn't even know it was being struck by Indra's thunderbolt. May Govardhan Hill fulfill my desire. This is a symptom of great devotion, increased devotion. It's there is a word for this, a symptom of love of Godhead. But just now, I'm sorry, I'm a little tired. I have forgotten the exact Sanskrit terms. But what it expresses is that the devotee, even in misery, does not feel the miserable circumstance as miserable because of his happy and ecstatic memory of Krishna. So Giriraj was there on the hand of Krishna, and imagine how much misery Indra inflicted. He threw thunderbolts, I mean not small ones, you know, heavy thunderbolts, which could, I mean, we hear this was really almost a scene like the destruction of the universe. So how painful it must be to be stricken by the thunderbolts of Indra. But Giriraj did not even notice this. He was so satisfied and happy by the touch of Krishna's soft lotus hand. Mother Yashoda, however, felt great misery underneath because she thought of the soft hand of my Lord has to, of my boy, has to carry this very strong and very hard rock. It must, he must feel pain because of this. Yashoda was maybe remembering that even the body of Krishna was so soft and delicate, when a leaf would fall from the tree and just come on the body of Lord Krishna, then there would be a leaf imprint in the body, so soft. So now she was thinking he must suffer because of this very, very hard rock, this hardened rock. Krishna told his mother, no, don't feel any inconvenience. It is, Giriraj is really floating in the air by himself. The mother Yashoda said, but I don't believe you. How can you say this heavy rock floats by itself? I will believe you if Giriraj really flies and we can see him flying above us. This is some loving exchange. So, the third verse. Yatraiva Krishna Vrishabhanuputya Danam Grihitum Kalaham Vitene Shrute Spriya Yatra Mahatyata Shri Govardhanome Disatam Abhishtam. Gorvadanome disatam abhishtam. Trying to collect a toll, Krishna quarreled there with King Vrishabhanu's daughter. The personified Vedas yearn to listen to that quarrel. May Govardhanil fulfill my desire. This was a very nice pastime, which I'm sure you will be very eager to hear. See, in Braj, the devotees see Krishna as the most lovable personality. Krishna has one Panditji, one priest, whose name is Bhaguri Muni. Gagacharya came into Vrindavan to perform the name-giving ceremonies, this form. But Bhaguri Muni is always there and makes different sacrifices for Krishna. So once he decided to make a very special yagya at the bank of Govindakund. This yagya was performed for the well-being of Krishna. Now the gopis heard about this by the Vrindavan telecommunication. Who knows the communication system in Vrindavan? How news reach from one place to the other?
Parrots,
yes. They are the parents of Srimati Vrindadevi. I have heard that this year at the Govardhan retreat, some of these exalted divine personalities, the parrots of Vrindadevi, will personally appear for some very wonderful drama, which is at the present moment already performed. Already prepared there. There will be a drama. Maybe you will be there to see the drama. It is really fantastic drama. It will be available later on the film. It will be filmed. So the gopis heard this and they decided, because Krishna is so dear to them, that they would also contribute to this yagya by bringing pots of ghee, which are highly required for a good fire yagya, to this place where the yagya was performed. Now from where they were, that is Vashana, in order to reach Govindakund, the only way really was to go through a place called, now it's called Dhangati. It's where the present town of Govardhan is resided, because it's there where the hill has a little indent, almost like a valley. Yes. So they came that way, but as they came that way, all of a sudden they were alarmed to see a toll station, which they had never seen before. On Giriraj, there was a toll station. I think you all know when you drive from one country to another and there's this toll station, you always go, my God. And they might check the car and they might find something which is maybe not so much wanted in the country, or they will ask me to pay some toll due, huh? Some toll, some tax to the state. And so the gopis saw this toll station. They've never seen it. And out of the toll station, they saw Lord Krishna stepping forward in the best of toll or tax collector costumes. He had a special, very, very colorful costume, like an official dress, you know. A toll collector or a tax collector will always have some type of uniform. So Krishna had the most outrageous uniform, a tax uniform on. A very amazing color combination, and this was never seen before. The gopis beautiful gopis looked at this and began to giggle. Because Krishna looked so absolutely outrageous, but extremely convincing in his talk. So then Krishna said, you beautiful gopis, you have brought a huge amounts of ghee. I mean, this, you can't just import this ghee now into the Govindakund area without paying heavy taxes. Now the gopis could have said that, Govinda, this ghee is only for your well-being, for this sacrifice. It's all, everything we have is already for you. They could have said it and informed Krishna. Of course Krishna knew that. But the gopis just wanted to give pleasure to Krishna by just totally ignoring him. They drew their veils. And without saying a word, but with strong determination to pass for free by the text station, they just passed the text station. But Krishna became very, very, very determined, like a text collector. Gaurari and myself, we are sometimes... We have sometimes in the past overlooked the text, and in European borders there's first the person who wants to see the passport, to see your identification, and then as you continue, there is then a second man that's from the toll station who you know, want to, I mean, if you take something in the country, you have to pay a toll, then you have to stop there. So we have sometimes not been thoughtful enough, and we just passed by the toll station. And, I mean, they become just so heavy with you. They make the sound, the pipe, this little whistle. It just freezes your blood. They begin to scream at you, and you have to stop, and then there is a great complication is there. So this is what happened with when the gopis passed Krishna. Krishna raised an alarm. He took the cowherd stick, he jumped right in the path and blocked the path and said, how can you dare to pass the toll station? So the gopis were just very nerved. There was never a toll station before. It was certainly a self-proclaimed tax collector, Krishna. Imagine our Syamhari would just open at random a tax station at the Fifth Avenue, and he would ask the people to look into their bags, and then, you know, whatever they have purchased, Syamhari would raise a tax on that, you know. Okay, your purchase is about $100. Your tax is now $15. You people would be outrageous. How can Syamhari dare to open a tax station at the Fifth Avenue and be a self-proclaimed tax collector? This would be totally unacceptable, you know. Oh, really? So the beautiful gopis were just, this is too much. How does the son of Nanda Maharaj have the audacity to do this? And so they quarreled. Now, which king do you represent? Which government do you represent? They asked to Krishna, that you have just dared to put up a tax station. And Krishna said, Kamadev, my king is Kamadev, the Lord of Love. Then the gopis started to just, the Lord, I mean, and what is your fine? And then Krishna told the gopis that the fine which he would have for the milk products would be a loving embrace from them. this was very amazing. Just imagine the situation, you know. And the gopis laughed, but they quarreled very intensely with Krishna. And here Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, but please listen to this carefully. The personified Vedas yearn to listen to that quarrel. It was so beautiful that how the Lord and the devotees quarreled very nicely. So time is also there. So we will the work of Rupa Goswami had written this a drama once. It's called Lalita Madhava, where it's described how Krishna leaves Vrindavan, and the separation from Vrindavan is described in this beautiful work of Goswami poetry. When Raghunath heard this, how Krishna left Vrindavan, Raghunath Das Goswami, by reading Lalita Madhava in the manuscript form, he began to cry, and he stopped all eating, and every day he was coming closer to death, because he couldn't tolerate that Krishna had left Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami had then handwritten this work, Dana Keli Komodi, in which he describes this pastime which I've just hinted at, and also this wonderful exchange between Krishna and the gopis, which is so there's so much humor in it, so much joy. That, and he had said to Raghunath, here, take the Dana Keli Komodi and give me back my Lalita Madhava. When Raghunath Das Goswami read this work, he laughed, actually. He laughed, and he felt so happy about the wonderful and amusing pastimes of the Lord, that he was very, very touched, and he could relish it. In other words, he could we find an example how sweet this is, how powerful it is, so that it is no longer a wonderment to us that the personified Vedas yearn to listen to this exchange. That is, so more is to come from Giriraj. Please stay tuned. We will now end our lecture here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Giriraj ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.